Oh, here we go.
All right, so leaders, today we have one of my best friends on this earth, a guy I've known for probably 17 years, and a cool story for you that you'll appreciate. Coach Lane, Coach Papich, and myself all coached together in Bozeman, Montana when we were in college. I met Coach Lane on a snowy Saturday morning at a Pee Wee football game where he was coaching the little CJFL midget team called the Packers. I was ref in the game. This dude was giving this halftime speech like it was the Super Bowl to a bunch of, I don't know, 8 or 10 year olds. And at first, I was kind of annoyed. I was like, why is this guy so fired up about little kid football? But then I met him. We actually had the same major at the same college. So he was a history major. I was a history teaching major. Then we student taught at the same school during the same semester. If you don't know what student teaching is, it's like slavery. You go do a teacher's job, don't get paid, and you pay your college tuition while you do it. It's fun. We did that together at the same school. And then he was the sophomore offensive coordinator and varsity running back coach for the Bozeman High Hawks. I became the freshman O-line and D-line coach and defensive coordinator under him. But then Coach Papich was the sophomore, he was a varsity D-line coach. I don't think he called the offense, right? You called the offense. Yeah. Coach Pap called the D. And so like two of my kind of bosses were Coach Lane and Coach Papich. So every time I talk to him, it's like a reunion. And football guys, you met Coach Lane during 2 days when he stopped by that day and talked to us about culture. Since then, he's been an assistant and head high school basketball coach from small town South Dakota to big city Washington and Texas. He's also been an assistant college basketball coach at the University of Puget Sound, right outside of Seattle. He also did the strength and conditioning for the University of Puget Sound. So he's done college coaching and strength work. He was a high school history teacher. He got a master's degree in being a principal, kind of under my twin brother through Rocky. And then he's run his own business. So right now he does a couple of different things, but his main focus is he trains high school athletes in both basketball skill work, but also strength and conditioning work. So instead of doing it for a college, he basically does it for his own business. He is married. His wife, Stacy, is an art teacher. He's got three sons, almost the same age as my kids. He is a cancer survivor. He got diagnosed with cancer the summer of all the COVID craziness. That in itself, he could give an hour talk on. It's wild. He's a business owner, he's a leader. And he's an awesome guy. He's one of my best friends. So we're lucky to have him today. And you guys are going to be leaned in. Everybody's cool off right now. I'm doing the same. And meet Coach Lane. Coach Lane, all you, my man.
I appreciate the speech there. So I see a lot of straight faces, first and foremost. He didn't mention I did teach for 10 years before we get talking, but I'm not a big like I'm gonna talk and let's just have a conversation with all of this. To me, that's more important. I think we get more out of that than me just giving you my life story that can bore you to death. So what I do want is people that are next to you can do it in your row. Think pair share. The person to how many you got in there, Aaron?
Matt, 30 something. Let me just chat in. Is he asking a question? How many do you got in here? How many what? Do we got in?
How many students you guys
Like
got?
35 or 40 in today's class if they all show up.
Nice. So to wake our brains up, this is what I need you guys to do. I need you guys to stand up and then partner up. I'll give you guys about 10 seconds
Let's go.
and go. 10, 9, 8. You got to walk around. You
My
can't just stand in the same
department.
spot. You got to walk around. Got to move, got to move, got to move, got to move. 7, 6, 5, 4, 2, One,
Your phone.
relax. Hey, what I need you to do with your partner, go and get my high five, say good morning, say what's up, do all that love.
Already messed
Perfect.
up.
Yeah. That's what I like. So,
Sorry.
the only way this is going to work is I need you and your partner to think of two types of questions. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of time to do that. I want you guys to think of what questions you can ask, for example, like, what did you do to get here? Or how hard was it for you to get here? Whatever the case is. Whatever you guys are interested in, I want you and your partner to think about some what and some how questions. No more than about three or four of them, and then we'll have conversation. So I'll give you guys about 30 seconds for that. What and how questions, and go.
And I can get their attention when you need me to get them like quiet down and focused.
We didn't actually, we were just playing a game. And so I had to run and take them outside at like 5 in the morning. And like,
what? 10 seconds. Nine.
Okay.
Eight. Seven. Six. Five. Four. Three. Two and one. Mikkel, get their attention, please.
Okay, time. You want him to sit back down or what do you want?
Yeah, go ahead and take a seat back down.
Block A, iPhone Jenga, stack it up.
Stack it up, brother.
All right. So the goal is to have a conversation. I think conversations are a little bit more dynamic than me just giving you a bunch of speeches. That comes with questions that derives ideas, and collaboration is the biggest thing from this. So with all that being said, what pair has the first question they would like to ask me? A what or how question?
How did you become a college coach?
How did I become a college coach? One, be good at your craft. That's one big piece. But honestly, for college coaching, it's not what you know, it's who you know. I was fortunate enough that there was an individual, he came to a couple of my games. He was a phenomenal high school coach out in the state of Washington. And then one day, actually during the time of COVID, he called me up and asked if I wanted to be a college coach. It wasn't something that was completely on my radar. I just finished having a pretty successful season on the basketball at the head coaching school that I was at in Grand Kapalson. And then we were gonna go into another year. We were only gonna be actually pretty good. And then he called me up and said, would you like the opportunity to be a college coach? And it was actually a hard decision. But I said, yep, we're going to make this happen. And so I became a college coach because the head coach liked the things that I offered and brought to the table, and helped impact his program also. What's up?
What's something that drove you to be successful in life?
See, that's a good question. I think there's segments of it all. So like in high school, I just wanted to be the better running back. Like the truth be told, like a lot of people go to the weight room. I didn't, and this is, as I got older, it's changed. But honestly, I went to the weight room because I was trying to look good. Like I was just trying to look good for the ladies. And so I went to the weight room a lot. But the positive piece was that actually made me pretty good at whatever I did naturally with certain things. So my drive there was just to be good at whatever I did. I just wanted to be better than everybody else. Everybody has an ego when they're good. I like to hear my name. And well, back in the day, I like to see my name in the newspaper. You guys know what newspapers are, right? Yeah. I like to see my name in a newspaper. And different things like that during that time of my life. And then when we moved to college, that's where I hit a big bubble, a mental block, an emotional block. And I went I'm going to say emotionally and mentally, I was just in a big circle. People call it depression, I guess. I guess I was depressed, and I couldn't figure out some of the reasons on why I was struggling in certain things in life. And I mean, I was in that for, I like to say 19 to almost 20 something. I kept trying to figure it out. And I wouldn't even go 20 something. It was probably years, decade of me just trying to figure that out emotionally and mentally. I battled personal items to grow because, I mean, you guys probably go through some of it now. Of just trying to figure out who you are, what you want to be, and who you want to become. And then a bunch of outside pressures that come with it. You guys have it way harder with social media. And so during that time of my life, I don't know if success was what I was striving for as much as peace. Peace was what I was striving for because I had an internal battle of, I know I was supposed to be doing something else, something different that was opposite from everybody else. Like I just knew in my gut I was supposed to be doing something else, but I took a path of what everybody else does. Does that make sense? So like there's a path that your parents have that try to maybe put you on or see and visionize. That's what you should do. And then your coaches or your friends and yourself. And so I kind of went down that path of what everybody else did, and I was miserable. I was miserable internally. I battled it. I fought it. I had my wife, and then I had my kids that helped the process of trying to figure this all out for my peace, my sake. So then now this later part of my life, my success comes from wanting to be a good dad. Like, I don't know if you guys experience it, but I mean, I'm not perfect at this, but when I was growing up, my dad was always gone because he had to provide, right? That's what us as men are viewed as. We're supposed to provide. We got to provide for our kids. We got to provide for our family. And so when my dad would provide, he'd provide. And he was there, but sometimes he wasn't there. And that feeling of always trying to get my dad approval is kind of what drives me now, of wanting to have my own business, because I can now dictate when I do something, if I feel like it or not, how I do it. And I can dictate how much time and not time I spend with my family. And to me, I think as a man of color is a big piece, is to show that there is success and that my kids can do it as well. And so right now my drive is to let my kids see what hard work takes, to let them know that I'm here consistently all the time. Like to be there for them when they wake up in the morning, when they get home and stuff like that, but also show them how to work and how to be dedicated to their craft and whatever they want to do. And just make sure my kids have that stronghold of a two-parent household, but being there consistently and showing them how to provide and to show them that it's okay as a man to love and be emotional and still strive to be great. But that was a hell of a question. I like it. What else we got?
Can I add on to that and tell them a little piece of your story too?
Yeah, go ahead.
So if you have that, like, as a dad, you got to provide mindset. Sometimes you got to take a job in North Dakota, or you got to work late, or you got to do a meeting on the weekend and miss your kid's game. Did your father miss your own wedding?
Yes, he did.
And why did he miss your wedding? Why did he miss your wedding?
He missed it because he said he had to work. Right? I see some of your faces like, what? Like, yeah. Yeah. And so that was actually, that's a big piece of like, that sucks. You know what I mean? And to this day, I'm bitter. He hasn't apologized about it, but he doesn't see it like that, right? He sees it. I had to work. I had to do what I had to do. And so for me, I don't want that to be a thing. Like, that's a big deal for me, is to be there in whatever shape, form, or facet. I'm trying to be there for my kids.
And it doesn't feel like this, but leaders, what I would tell you is when your parents do stuff that you don't like or it makes you resent them, they're your parents, and you may not understand. They might have another reason to do it, whatever. What I always tell kids is, okay, well, when you're a dad or when you're a mom, then don't be that way. You can't change the parents you have. I've never even met Coach Lane's dad. I'm not talking bad about him. I'm just saying, I don't care what job I had. If my son got married, I'd be at his wedding. And if it got me fired, I'd be like, cool, I'll get another job next week when the wedding's over. So instead of being mad and hating them, it's like, okay, well, when my kids have weddings, I know what that feels like to have a dad who doesn't come. I'll make sure I become the dad who does show up. And that's how I view parenting. And it seems weird. Like, I'm 17. I'm not even trying to have a girlfriend, and I'm supposed to be thinking about parenting. Yeah, because you know what it's like to have a parent that does or doesn't do certain things. And you don't think this way, but you should. As a leader, you're going to be a parent someday too, possibly. Hopefully. Those are lessons that you learned because you were on the receiving end of them. And there's more to being a parent than just providing. So who's got next for Coach Lane?
What has been your biggest challenge on your way to success?
My personal self. Like, my biggest challenge is myself. And that sounds cliche, but the truth is as a leader, that's lonely, and it can be very difficult. And when you step out on your own, like your own business, whatever it is, you're actually kind of making yourself vulnerable because it's your ideas and your views. And like any human, like, you want it to be liked and you want it to be good. And so that was a big hurdle, and sometimes is still a big hurdle for me. And then the safety of everything, like being a business owner and being that leader, sometimes we all get in a little comfort zone. We get comfortable and we like that comfort zone. Coming out of that comfort zone, well, is uncomfortable. And so me changing my mindset has been one of the biggest things that's really pushed me and propelled me to where I wanted to be. Because if I didn't change my mind in whatever facet, and this goes for you guys, whatever you want to be, you can become, but you stop yourself because of your internal thoughts. And so if you want to be something, if you're in your gut, you're like, yeah, I'm supposed to be different. Being different is great, but being different is hard. It's lonely. You get made fun of. You get looked at like, what are you doing? But you know that you're supposed to be different. And so if you can learn how to change your mindset and not please the people around you, you can become whoever you want to become in that process. And so for me, that's what I had to do, was flip my brain and find peace within myself. Like, now I am who I am. It is what it is. But if you can learn how to do that now, as you guys get, as you're in your young age, that's only going to make you stronger. Now, that doesn't mean not to learn and expand your mind, but you are who you are, and love who you are. And if you can love who you are, you can truly become the person you want to become, and not trying to be the person that everybody else wants you to be. But you have to discover that yourself. What else we got? Y'all asking some good, deep questions. I like to be all getting on philosophical and stuff. That's deep.
What was your first coaching job, and what did you learn from it?
My first coaching job was, I coached back in the day. I coached youth girls basketball. And so what I learned was girls listen better than guys. That was very enjoyable. Like, if you can show, like, the girls you care about them as a person, they're going to work their tails off. And it's just going to be a blast. But then I started doing the Lions Club football as my next coaching gig. And now that we're talking out this out loud, now I'm starting to see where my natural gifts were already there. But that was my next gift or my next job and what I learned from that. You talking about personally or just as a whole?
Both, I guess.
Okay. So as a whole, I learned parents live through their kids. Like parents push their kids to do stuff that sometimes they don't want to do. And that's a huge balancing act as a parent. But internally, I learned to have a gift of inspiration, inspiring, and helping kids and people be better and do better than what they think they can. How long you been growing your hair?
It took like 2 years, 3 years probably. I cut it off like 6 inches in November though.
See, it looks nice. It looks luscious.
Thanks.
Yeah, you got the Hercules vibe, you know what I'm saying? Like the long. Yeah. What else we got? Talk to me.
If you could go back in time with the knowledge you have now, what would you do differently?
Ooh. Now, life or sports? We got two different realms here.
Let's do both.
Okay, sports, I would lift differently. I would be a different lifter. That's huge.
Tell us about that.
I would lift differently. Like, I would work on, because I was strong already, right? So I was 190 and I was squatting like 5+. And so I didn't know any better, but everybody's like, oh, you just keep lifting. So I was like, all right, I just keep lifting. But there was a point where I got slower. And so in high school, I was moving. I was talking about 4.4s. I was moving. Felt good. Felt great. I got in college. What did they say? Keep lifting. Keep getting stronger. I actually got slower. So what I would do is change how I lift. I would change the way I was eating. I would change the way I was sleeping. Those are like the big things that I would change. I think my career would have been a completely different ball game if I shift my lifting from completely hypertrophy strength. I mean, strength is important, but hypertrophy, knock that out, stop doing that, but start doing more explosive plyometrics, jumps, working on fast twitch muscle fibers, all of that, teaching my hamstrings how to go fast and be fast, and I would run faster more often. That would have changed my career completely within the sport realm. Personal, I would probably have, if I can go back, I would tell myself, don't date certain girls. Don't do that. Don't put yourself in that drama position, because I'm not a drama person. That's one thing I would change is like, nah, don't. If you got to fight for love, that ain't love. We're not going to go there. But if you fight every other day, why you want to do that to yourself? You know what I mean? Break up, move on, go other directions. But he won't go down that path. But that'd be something for me personally that would have changed my life completely too. Stanley,
I got to add.
Hold on, Mikael. She picked up the Stanley. I don't know your name, but you picked it up. Everybody has Stanley all of a sudden. We forgot about Yetis, but besides the point, what's the question you got?
No name.
Well, I was just going to ask, like, what did you learn from coaching college football?
So I coach college basketball, but besides.
Oh, sorry.
It's all good. Yeah. You're fine. So what I learned from that, I learned one personal that I'm more of a college coach than I was a high school coach. Like I figured out that kids actually enjoy doing this. They're not forced to do this. And that you can hold a different type of standard in the college realm, and you can push things a little bit differently. You have more control and more say than anything else. But there was a lot of things that were more reconfirmed that can change a program. A lot of stuff I actually earned from Coach McKelkey and within leadership and all the things that he helped me with, I actually put it into that college program. And I learned that it works, like it's legit. Like it can change a program it can change lives, like hands down. So the example would be is when I first got to that program, we were, what it did okay in a couple of years, but the year that I was kind of there, we dropped down to like 3 and whatever during the COVID season. And in that process, I kept communicating with the head coach, like, hey, we got to get our culture right. We got to get our culture down this path. We have to do this. We have to do this. And I kept bugging him about it and kept telling him. Anyways, needless to say, he did that. And then now that program is, they made it to the playoffs 2 years in a row for sure. They had the best program, the best season they've ever had in the past, oh, decade or so. And I would like to say that I was a part of pushing that culture, actually having a strong strength and conditioning program, teaching the kids how to lift and go about lifting. I think all of that propelled the program into where kids want to be and how to go about doing it. And then I learned that it's no joke. Even playing as a college athlete, it's very demanding time-wise. And you're trying to find a balance between figuring out who you are and being an athlete. What else we got?
How about one of your skill sets, Coach Lane, that's unique is training female athletes, especially in the weight room. What kind of ideas and feedback would you have for a high school female athlete? Say, we got a whole crew of softball players in here. They're in season. If they came to you and were like, hey, write our work and train us, what kind of things would you work into their programming?
Oh, one, I'm a kettlebell guy. I love kettlebell. I hate Olympic lifts. I don't think it serves the purpose. The ROI on Olympic lifts is not the jam. So hang clean, power cleans, all the cleans, snatches. I might do dumbbell snatches. But to be honest with you, the return on investment on that is too, you're not going to get your bang for your buck. Two, med ball, a lot of rotational throws, a lot of power throws, a lot of hard and aggressive tosses. And then three, we are going to lift heavy for your size. Lift heavy for your size. Because I think I'm learning with girls, they get in the weight room, right? And you guys like to stretch your muscles. Like, I'm in a 1,000-pound club. Ah. And so like, that's kind of intimidating sometimes. Cause sometimes as a lady, you're like, well, I'm not benching all that. Or you don't like the meathead macho vibe that you get in the weight room. And so I actually have a young lady in softball right now that we're training. And we go, I mean, we lift athletically and we go heavy. We do plyometrics. We do a lot of that. So like example would be, I lift three main girls. I got two sophomores and a freshman. The freshman girl, let me ask you ladies, what are some of your, like, do you guys have like deadlift maxes and all that? What do we got here? How much weight are we pushing? I'm asking any of the girls. You guys are all looking around like nervous.
Okay, I deadlift 165.
165. That's awesome. That's good stuff. So I'll give you a comparison. I have a freshman right now. She's about 5'11", 6 foot. She was skinny, not skinny anymore, but she's very slender. And she is 145. She weighs 145. And she deadlift 230. And then I have a young lady another girl that's about the same weight. She's the same weight, but she's a sophomore. But this girl's really explosive. She deadlifted 265. And then I have another young lady. Her body type's a little different. But anyway, she deadlift 255. And so our goal now for this summer is to actually get the one lady that girl that does 255, we're trying to get her to about 290 in deadlift. And then the other girls, if we can get them to about 290 to 300 by going into volleyball season is what our goal is. And it's not hypertrophy. lifting. And here's what's crazy. We only do like three sets, three sets of like two. And we only lift about, because we're in season, FYI, we're in season. The lift is only like 45 minutes. And so moral of the story is, if you're getting told to lift three sets of eight, three sets of 10, yeah, I wouldn't do that. If you're trying to get stronger and explosive and faster, I wouldn't necessarily do that. Even for you fellas, I wouldn't necessarily do that either. You don't need to. You want to become explosive. We can go all day about that. All right, what else we got?
When you think about the, like, the best athletes and people that you've coached, what could you say is, like, the biggest thing, like, what sets them apart? What makes them different?
They're competitive. Like the kids aren't competitive nowadays. They don't got a fire to them. There's no, you know, like, as a coach, you want to see a kid that's fiery, like a competitor. Like, you, we're trying to compete, like compete in the weight room, compete in the classroom, compete. I don't think kids nowadays are competitive like that. Like, that's a skill that needs to be taught. You know what I mean? Like, I feel, you know yourselves, you guys are out there competing and playing and stuff like that. Like, there's a balance between smiles and happy go. I'm all about smiling. Like, I want to have a good time. Like, when I was a teacher, I thought learning should be fun, but we're trying to compete. Like, I need you to get after each other. I need you to push each other. And that's one thing that separates majority of these athletes, is just their competitive spirit, their fire. They want to be good. Like, if I have to push you to be good, you don't want to be good. Like, do, you know what I mean? Like, be a self-starter. If I got to start you to get going, what are we doing this for? You're not going to be very good. Just call it, I'll just be real with you. You're not going to be very good. But if you're a self-starter and I just help continue to fuel that fire and get you going, oh, man, we can do some things. But if you are non-motivated, your mom and dad have to wake you up to get to workouts, you whine about getting the workouts, my question for you is, why are you doing what you're doing? Do something else that you love to get up and do. Stop doing something else that somebody else wants you to do. You do what you want to do to be really stinking good at it. What else we got? Yonner. Well, I don't know his name. He's yawning to the left. Yeah, Gray. Yeah, I saw that. That was a huge yawn, too. What we got? Gray sweatshirt, gray sweater. Yep, keep going. Right there. Yeah. Him, he yawned. So let's go ahead and give me a question.
Basketballer, getting recruited, or high school basketball.
When you look, like, in recruiting basketball players, what's, like, the first thing that, like, sets someone apart from, like, their teammates?
Competitive spirit. Like, it's not about how much you score. And I'm speaking for myself. It's not about how much you score. I'm trying to see what kid can play the game. Like, where's their IQ of the game? As much basketball as kids are playing in AAU and all of this, dumb as rocks. They don't make the best basketball plays. Ball hogs, shoot bad shots. To me, that's not impressive. Like, I would take a kid. And I usually see gyms like that, kids that are, there's a balance, but I a kid that'll score like maybe 15, but then he had like 7 assists and about 5 rebounds. Like, he's impacting the game like no other. But a kid that's like getting buckets, 25, 26, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, like, bro, you're a ball hog. Because you got to realize, like, when you go to college, there's a shift and there's a change and there's guys older that are better than you there, unless you're just already that dude. But if you're going into a D2 or a D3, the chances are you just ain't that dude right away, because if you were that dude, you would go D1. But at a D3 or a D2, which is fine, there's still great opportunities for to play at the next level. You got to be able to fit into the scheme of everything that people want to do. And there's a learning curve that goes for college athletes. Like, some, it takes some freshmen longer than others. The quicker you learn it, the more dominant you will be. But the game is more physical. So how strong are you? How well do you treat your teammate? Are you a pouty poop pants, meaning you pout every time something doesn't go your way? Or the game is on the line. Do you encourage your teammates, get them going in the right direction? Or are you that guy that's to themselves? Like, you have to understand, like, if a coach likes you, there's something that he likes about you, but you need to fit in what they're trying to do. And that's actually for any of you trying to go to college sports. Like, you are now an investment. An investment. And that coach's job is on the line. So are you, ask yourself, are you worth the investment? What do you bring to the table? Why do we need you? Because we can find millions of other basketball players, softball players in different states. What do you bring to the table? Why do we need you? What else we got?
Do you like coaching football or basketball more, and why?
Basketball. Because basketball was a challenge for me. It stretched me as a person. It stretched me mentally. And so I really dove into it because it was something that I was a good basketball player, but being a coach is different from being a player. And so it really pushed me to be a better person. And then it's indoors. Like, I don't like being outdoors like that. Like in Wyoming, what, October? We might get some snow, you know what I mean? Halloween time, you're looking at 5-6 inches. Like, who wants to be in the cold? Who wants to be in the negatives? Uh-oh, something happened again?
I think it's good. It still says it's recording.
Yeah, it is.
But well, what about tell him, like, coaching football in Texas? So he coached at El Dorado High School in El Paso. Oh, on the turf, there's another extreme you guys don't appreciate.
Yeah, the turf was, I mean, it's hot. I mean, we talking about it was cooking 90 plus, then on the turf. But I think, but also in Texas, though, it's a, like, sports is a class. So, like, you know, you guys have PE, right? For me, I don't know why, but anyways, you have PE. And so you do PE, and with PE, that's your class. But in Texas, you don't have PE, you have your sport. So if you were a softball player, you will have softball as your class. That's your PE credit. And so in Texas, you were doing it year round. And I came to realize, like, I don't really like this. I don't enjoy this. This is not fun to be doing it year round. Like, I genuinely didn't enjoy it, but for some reason I enjoyed basketball year round. Like, I just love to do it. I loved being around it, but I loved doing football year round. That wasn't a jam. It was like community college almost. And I was like, nah, this is not for me. Now that's a whole nother story of realizing that it's not for me and actually giving it up. That was very difficult. What else we got? Zombie faces.
How have your goals changed now that you are a coach and a business owner from the time that you were an athlete?
I take all the knowledge that I've gained and the experience I have gained as a coach and as an athlete, and I actually try to give it back to the kids that want it. I try to get them to understand the importance of, you know, hard work, the intent behind your hard work. Just because you go into the gym or just because you go to the field doesn't mean you're getting better. Like, understanding the purpose and intent behind what you do. And then being able to find a way to push kids mentally and emotionally to get them to where they want to be is a big, big component. So like for basketball, I would like to say I train differently than a lot of people. And my training has a rhythm and rhyme, and it looks crazy, but the truth be told is I, as a coach, I'm trying to get you to be able to translate what you do in training faster. If you guys have trainers, they probably give you the speech of you got to do it 1,000 times to get the result that you want. I'm trying to cut that down to help kids have the opportunity to get that scholarship and grow that IQ in the game to be really stinking good. That's what I'm doing right now, because Learning, it starts at the youth level, you know, your parents coach, and then they have you guys run set plays after set plays. And it's like, bro, they're not learning how to play. And then it goes on to high school, and coaches don't teach you how to play. They tell you how to play. Ooh, hey, that's a quote you want to put down there. That's a TikTok. That's a dime, right? That's a gem right there. That's a good one. And because of that, I try to teach kids how to do things rather than completely tell them, because then that helps you grow more. So with all that being said, you will struggle. You will be frustrated, and you will feel like you want to quit. I push you to that point. Then we'll find out how bad you really want it. What else we got? What about ladies? What do you got for me? We have the young lady in the pink. You can't get away because you're the only one with the bright pink. What do we got? Yeah, I'm calling you out. Don't put your head down and smile. What do we got? Oh, I love it. She's nervous. She's not quite sure. That's the head scratch. What do we got?
What advice do you give to an unconfident player?
What do I give? So I love that question. I love it. I'll never forget this story. When I was a football coach, I had one kid that came to me, and he was like, "Coach, I keep dropping all the balls they throw into me. I keep dropping them. I don't know if I can do it. I'm struggling. I can't. I can't. I can't. I can't. I can't. I can't." That's the repetitive word with non-confident players. I can't. Or I don't know. I'm not sure. I can't. Try flipping your words to "I can" and "I will." So when you failed it, because you can't, you're not going to necessarily get rid of it. But I think what's important is to acknowledge when you're starting to feel the lack of confidence. And then I don't know. I think Aaron's probably taught you, but there's a thing called a power stance. And so what you do is you actually put yourself in your power stance. So you can stand like a superhero, you can flex your muscles, whatever that is. You put yourself in this power stance, and you can meditate a little bit and repeat some of the words "I can" and "I will." I can, let's go with softball. I can hit the ball. I can run over there and catch it. And then instead, once you get to that "I can," it says "I will do this." And you write that stuff down. And you repeat to yourself every single day, "I can and I will, I can and I," whatever that is in your life. I would also go to the point of getting a dry erase marker and write it on your mirror at the crib. "I can," whatever your message is, and "I will." Those two things, even for me, help me become the person like "I can and I will," because you're speaking life into yourself, not taking life away from yourself. So if you're not confident, it's because you're not breathing life in, you're taking life out of you. And then you're listening to everything else around you. You're comparing yourself to everybody else around you instead of honing in your love for yourself, your focus for yourself, and repeating, "I can and I will." Now, that doesn't mean you won't struggle, but if you can learn how to do "I can and I will," whatever those statements may be for you and what you need, that will help you develop that confidence.
Coached any players that went professional?
I actually did. I did. He went professional basketball. Brock Coyle. Anybody remember? Anybody know Brock Coyle? No? Brock Coyle. So I was the varsity running back coach when Brock Coyle played for Bozeman High School. He went to the Montana Grizzlies. He ended up getting drafted by the Seahawks, and he went to the 49ers. Or no, 49ers and the Seahawks. But the one thing about that kid that I would never take away, besides the fact that he had an ego and is super competitive, he worked his tail off. Like we trained for a whole summer, and he ended up having a phenomenal year at both positions. But he was a natural linebacker, and then a kid just recently he went to the pros for basketball. And I was fortunate enough to be a part of that journey that he was doing. And both of those things that I've learned about those cats is they have an unwavering work ethic. They have a different mindset. They're willing to get up. They're willing to compete. But they have an unwavering sense of belief in themselves. Like, they just believe, like, bro, I'm going to go. This is what I'm supposed to do. I can and I will. And they end up doing it. This is what we're going to do, Mikel. You guys stand up. You guys are getting all watery and itchy and movie. Let's stand up real quick. I need you guys. I'm going to give you 10 seconds. Go switch your seats. You got to go switch your seats. Here we go. And go. 10 seconds. Maybe two people actually, like three or four of you guys just said, stood there, just sat there. Very, very funny. But that's called a brain break. What else we got? Yes.
Would you rather coach an elite athlete who is difficult to coach or an average athlete who is easy to coach?
Say that first part again. Would I rather coach an easy? I know the average athlete, but what is your other one?
An elite athlete, but they're difficult to coach.
I would never coach an elite athlete. I don't want to coach that kind of kid. For what? Their ego's involved. They're not going to listen to whatever I got to say. They listen to mom and dad and everybody else around them, right? Because they go home and they probably hear everything else in the sun. Here's a big one. Your coach doesn't know what he's doing. Or your trainer might say, oh, well, he doesn't know what he's doing. And so then your parents are like, what's going on? And blah, blah, blah. Like, who wants to coach those kind of kids? How is that fun for anybody? Like, just because you're good, bro, doesn't mean that it's enjoyable. Like, I'm trying to enjoy what I do too. I would rather coach an average kid to be an elite kid than an elite kid that doesn't like to listen. Like, get over yourself. Like, I don't think you understand that there's millions of other kids in this world that are better than you. What makes you feel like you're the best thing since white bread? Like, chill out. What else we got? I'm going to go in the front row, black shirt. He's got the nice curly fro. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Half sleep. You just put your head up. What do we got, my good guy?
What makes you like keep going each day and keep going to your goals?
What got me going each day? That feeling inside of me that I'm not doing everything I need to be doing, and then finding that peace within my life, and that the old cliche of my kids and my family kept me going also. And then I guess, I don't know, this might be a, male toxic mindset, but I understand being sad. I understand being difficult, but at the same time, I'm like, don't be so soft. Like, you got what you pouting for. Life is not stopping because you're pouting or sad or you're all into your emotions, which there's a balancing. You need to get all that out, but life ain't gonna stop. So what do you go get what you want? Stop hanging your head and then blaming the world around you. Why are you blaming the world? Like, go make it happen. And if it's a confident thing, suck it up, buttercup, take a deep breath and keep moving forward. You're going to get told no. You're going to get looked at like you're an idiot. But have a vision, have a dream, and go get your dream and your vision. Don't wait for mommy or daddy to give you encouragement. That's the big piece. Don't wait for mommy and daddy. Don't wait for your friends. Don't wait for anybody to tell you you can be something. Like, go be something. Stop waiting for somebody to tell you that. What else we got?
Is your bench max and your deadlift max?
Yeah. When are we asking here?
Like deadlift max.
Now?
Lifetime?
Or now? Lifetime. Be careful. Deadlift. Yeah. Well, deadlift, I never like lifetime deadlift that. I can tell you now. Now I'm at crap. Where am I now? About 485, 500. I'm almost 40 years old. So, you know, let's throw that out there too. I'm about 500 deads right now. 500.
Tell them your 40 time and your bench max when you were a D1 football player.
My bench, I got up to 350. That's a little heavy. That's heavy putting on my chest. That was heavy. Then that felt gross. But then I was at when I was going into college, my 40 was faster when I got to college. But in college, I got to a 4.55. But I wish if I would have known what I knew now, I would be a different person, different ball game. What else we got?
What did it feel like coming to the realization that you didn't want to do football anymore, like coach it or do anything about it?
Ooh, love that question. That was hard. For a little bit, I felt like a failure. Like I'm letting a lot of people down. You go from being one of the better players in your area. You go off to play college. You get the college experience. Then you come back, and then the person, the person that helped get you, like helped get me my first like teaching job, was the head coach of the school. The story goes on there, and he actually gave me my first opportunity to just get involved with all of it. I guess at the high school level. And when I realized I didn't want to do it, I battled that for like 2 years. Because I was trying to deny that my internal gut that I wasn't supposed to, but I felt like I was trying to do it for, you know, like, well, I made excuses like, oh man, he helped me get my job, or man, you play college football, man, you should be doing this. And so every reason on why I tried to stay, it was there until one day I just said, I can't do it. And I just had to rip the Band-Aid off. And it was very difficult because I felt like I was letting down, like I said, a lot of people around me. But that's probably one of the best things I've ever did in my life. It led me down a path that I am to this day. And I'm forever grateful for it, but it was very, very difficult. What else we got?
And to go off of that, how did you overcome that feeling of failure and like you were letting people down?
It lingered for, and so I'm just trying to help you guys get there fast, but it lingered for a while because I was stepping into something that I didn't know completely about, right? Like that I just wasn't naturally good at. So I think you guys might get this. It's called the imposter feeling when you're just like, you're like unsure, like, I don't know, like this guy's better than me because they played basketball or they've done this or they've done that. And so I got that, had that imposter feeling for years and years and years and years. That feeling of like, man, maybe I'm just not good enough. And then I started working on my mindset of I can and I will. I started to meditate and breathe and speak peace into my life instead of fighting myself so much of saying that I couldn't or shouldn't or I can't. And then I just went out and did, like, I just gave it my all. Like, this is where I'm at. Let's give it my all. And then over the years, you sometimes, and this is actually a big deal, you sit and you reflect like all of the opportunities that you did change and impact, to sit and say that I became a college coach from not coaching or not even going to play college basketball and all of that. Is like a big feat, because a lot of guys that are basketball coaches in college are guys that played basketball in college. And so that let me know the amount of growth I had mentally and emotionally and understanding the game, what was a big deal. So speaking life into it in a positive manner is a big, big thing, big deal for me to help me overcome. any of those obstacles. What else we got, sleepyheads?
How about what's one piece of leadership that you think a lot of high school athletes don't understand or don't fully appreciate?
I think what I'm learning is the balance between being light and being that leader. So I think because in high school, like, you want to be liked by your peers, and you're not all, but you like to be liked, and that's enjoyable that people like you. So you try to do two things, right? Like, for example, we'll go with football. You try to go off the football field, and you're away from the football field. You do all the things that everybody else does. You maybe go to parties, you drink, you do this, you do all of that. And then it's like you might badmouth the coaches, whatever the case is. And so then you're one of the better players. You come back on the field and you try to hold that same group of kids that you were just bad-mouthing with and doing all those wrong things. And you're trying to lead. Well, you're not going to be able to lead because they're not going to look at you as that leader. Like, they're going to look at you as though you're fake. And so I'm learning that the high school kid needs to be able to learn a balance between their social, academic, and sports. There's three of it. There's three pieces. You're not going to be able to satisfy all three at a high level. And so if you want to be a leader, you got to pick which ones you want to satisfy. And then from there, it will start taking a form of its own within your leadership. And then serving is another one. I think it's hard for kids to do, to genuinely serve your teammates and people around you. If I can tell you anything, if you want your life to truly change as a leader, serve, be a servant leader, serve your teammates, serve your coaches. Because if you can learn how to serve, that actually brings the best out of you. Because now you're holding yourself to this high standard and you don't have a window to drop. Like, you just can't. Like, you're the person that everybody looks to. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect, but you are serving everybody. You have to bring your A game. They look to you to change things. The coaches are looking to you to make plays, your teammates. So serving, I don't think kids serve enough. They're too egocentric. And then I think not all, but parents don't promote servitude in a positive way to make kids the best around them. That makes you the best. Like basketball, just because you score on a 25 piece, I might look at you, but are you serving your teammates in that process? Are you encouraging your teammates in that process? Or are you the guy that's jacking up all the shots and be the first one to sit on the bench and complain when you start losing? Like, you're not serving, you're selfish. What else we got?
How do you put selfish players in check? How do you address that?
Me personally, I just call them out. And so if I call them out, there's going to be two routes. Like, either they get upset and they quit, or they realize, like, bro, I am selfish. And they try to change it. Now, it all depends on the sensitivity level of the kid. I might have more of like, hey, bro, you're being selfish. Like, you're jacking up all these shots and it's screwing us. Or if they don't, I'll just call them out in front of the team. Now, is that the best coaching tactic? I don't know, probably not, but it seems to work for me. You know what I mean? Like, I've come to realize that every kid wants to be a good teammate. I just don't think they know how to be a good teammate all the time. And I think sometimes you guys are put in positions of being good because you've always been good. But then do you know how to not be the person that's not good? Like, do you know how to help the people around you be better? That's like a big, big deal. If you can learn how to do that, that's only going to make the best player really stinking good. Really stinking good. What else?
I got one for you, Coach Lane. How about for those high school athletes that start discerning, where am I going to go to school? Am I going to try to play this sport or that sport? Should I walk on here or take a scholarship here? You had an interesting path through that journey. What would you share with them in terms of wisdom to go through that process?
I think, one, you want to go to where they want you. That's a big one. Go to where they want you. I know you guys seen all these stories about these guys, like, I'm just going to go here and I'm going to make it work and I'm going to make it happen. How many, you've only seen it for very, very few kids. So I think one is go to where they want you. They believe in you. And you want to go to where that experience, your first year, if you're going from home, you're away from your family and stuff like that. You want to go to where your first experience is in a positive manner to help you be your best. And then you're concerned what sport. I mean, that's the beauty of it. Like, you have three sports to choose from. I think I actually have a girl right now that we're kind of going through that process. Like, her older sister's a college basketball player. So then it's like, she's more athletic than her sister. And so they're like, well, you should be a D2 player, D2 athlete. But it's funny. I love that question. I told her this yesterday. I said, you need to write your own path and not try to be the path of somebody else or what other people think you're trying to be. So if your heart and your passion and your love is, say, you like tennis, but you're a hell of a football player, but you don't love football, you're just really stinking good at it, I think, why not dive into tennis? Why not communicate and contact coaches and dive into that and give it your all and see where it goes? And you're battling what people think and what people expect from you to what you really want. But the biggest thing is, write your own path. If you have three sports, find that one you're passionate about and write your own path. Don't let nobody dictate your path, because they're not living your life. They're not living in your shoes. Only you live in your shoes. And you don't want to pick, say, mom and dad say you should do basketball, but you know you're a hell of a football player. At the end of the day, real talk, that's your life. You're going to have to live with it. You're going to have to wake up every day. I do think you give them a chance, but if you don't live your life, you're going to live somebody else's life, and then you're going to be miserable. That's easier said than done, too. What else? Is there any leadership, other leadership type questions that you guys might have?
No, but I do have a question. We keep talking about this path and this path and this path. Mm-hmm. How do you find for yourself, and how do you let go of the things you need to let go?
So I think what you do, how that happens, is a reflection. Like, you need to do, like, go on your own, whatever you want to do, and write down. You'll start seeing a common theme when you start writing things down about where life is going, what you enjoy. And you'll start seeing, like, this common reoccurring circle, and that's kind of where you're heading. Like, kind of the path that we're talking about is where you're going. And then being able to let things go, it depends on what those things are. Can you give me an example?
Like, if you need to let go of, like, a sport, or like a thing that you like doing, or like that's not really good for you, and you need to drop it and, like, try to focus on something that is the best for you, how do you let go of that thing that you don't need?
Bro, to be honest with you, if that thing is weighing you down and your gut is saying, let it go, rip the Band-Aid and just do it. It's going to be scary. It's going to be hard. You're going to get people in your ear, and you're going to hear so many things, but just do it. And you do it for your peace. And once you find your peace within yourself, that actually expands and frees your mind. Because right now, that thing that's weighing, holding you down, is making you narrow path. And whatever you're doing, you're not doing it for you and your passion and your love. You're doing it for everybody around you. And if you ever go through life, now, there's a difference between serving and putting yourself into shambles and misery. There's a balance between the two. You can't serve the people around you great if you're not at peace and you're not loving what you're doing. So if it's something that's a burden, because it sucks when you're viewed as something you should be. Again, I should have been a hell of a football coach. I played college football. I was good, whatever. But I didn't want that path. So I didn't do it. And for about a year, I'm talking about coaches were like, hey, you need to do this. You need to do that. And I questioned it sometimes. But when I decided to step into the light of whatever I enjoyed, I started to grow as a person. More than anything, like whatever that is, if it's even if it's partying, like if it's partying, you know you shouldn't be doing this. You, my brain, like there's like steps you can take. Like, oh, I'm just more of a cold turkey dude. Just to stop. Just don't do it. The friends that are pulling you that direction, they're not your friends. Let them go. Yes, they're going to make fun of you. Yes, they're going to talk trash about you on social media. I'm just telling you, these are all the reality to your situation. But this isn't about them. It's about you and what you want to be. Let it go. If it's weighing you down, you need to let it go. Yes, it's very difficult. Just pull the Band-Aid. Pull the Band-Aid. It's going to be hard on you. But that's where the I can and I will statements come in. I can be this. I will be this. And you keep going down that path. Speak life into yourself, because there's going to be things around you speaking life out of you. And if you allow that life to be pulled and you start comparing yourself and you gravitate to that stuff, then yes, you're going to struggle. But if you believe I can and I will, surround yourself with common mental thought processing type people, and then you will overcome that. It may not be tomorrow, few months. It might be a year, 2 years down the road. But you become the person you're supposed to become, and you will be at peace. And then when you're at peace, this is the path. When you're with your significant other, you are now at peace. You can grow and help each other be their best. If you decide to have a family, you can grow and help your family be their best. So your peace is more important than the turmoil that you have within yourself. Mic drop.
Thank you. That was really good.
Okay. How about this, Coach Lane? Because a couple leaders from the other class asked about if they want to shoot you a question or connect with you, what's your preferred method, right? Like email, Twitter, how could they get in touch with you?
I got Instagram. I use Facebook for the older people. I got a Twitter, but I don't know how to really do all that. No, I don't really use Twitter. I got a TikTok, but I'm not gonna lie to you. I don't really know how to tiki talkie. Is that a jammy jam? Is that what y'all do? Tiki talkie is like the jam? I don't know. I don't really do all that.
What's your Instagram handle?
I'm about to pull that up. You're asking me that question. It is. Is there a chat? I got to put in your chat. Is there a chat? Yeah, there's a chat.
I'm writing it the board for him.
I know, but I think it'd be easier if I just spelt it in the chat. And then, because it's long. And then you can write it on the board for him. But nah, they can hit me up on the Grammy Gram. And then, you know, if they need what's up? If they need a number or something like that, I don't mind talking to them like that. Also, whatever helps, you guys be your best and whatnot. Here we go. You got it?
Okay. So it's put your TikTok on there too. Okay. Instagram.
Oh, I don't know.
Find Coach Lane.
Chill.
Instagram is Coach S_mind_basketball_academy. That is a long Instagram handle.
You see what I'm saying? Like, so, that's, I didn't want to say all that. So we just go ahead, you put that on the board, write that down with the dry
erase. I know, but Coach, for the people that can't see the chat on YouTube and Spotify, they want to know too. So,
okay. And
Coaches without the E, _mind_basketball_academy. What's your TikTok?
At coach.john.lane.
That's
I think that's what it is. Yeah, J-O-N. Yeah, I don't, I'm not gonna lie to you. I don't really have many things on the tiki talk. Not really sure how to do it.
I know a guy that
I'm
can help
behind
with that.
times. I'm behind times. Yeah, like I just posted something new that I thought I posted like last week. Didn't post. It was in drafts.
Yeah. It's coach.john. That's J-O-N dot lane. We'll hit him up.
That's
on
a
TikTok.
It has this logo.
Yeah. It's like the brain and the basketball. It's teal and white. That's his business logo. It is cool. I was one of the first people on his YouTube channel, like, what, 4 years ago when you started that?
Yeah.
Okay, here's the biggest thing, guys. Success leaves clues. Somebody else has already done the thing you want to do. You want to be a high school All-American in your sport? Someone else has already done that. You want to get a college scholarship to Black Hill State to run track? Someone's already done that. You want to have a cute girlfriend at the prom? Somebody, well, some of you aren't doing that, but someone's already done that. Go find that person and say, how'd you do that? What was your lifting plan? What did your schedule look like? How did you manage your sleep? It's never been easier to find people because it's like, boom, there's his Instagram and his TikTok. But how many people are going to ask him a question versus just do it on their own? That doesn't mean he knows everything. It just means he's down this path way further than you. And he could show you some shortcuts and say, hey, you know what? I messed this up when I was in high school. He transferred in college. He got hurt in college. He's had all these experiences that you could just say, hey, what was that like? What would you tell your younger self if you could go back to that dude who tore his hamstring at Montana State? I'm a D1 football player and now I can't run. What's that do to your identity? What do I do next? Well, you could try to figure that out on your own, or you could shoot him a message or a call or whatever and say, hey, coach me through that. Right? So, Coach Lane, we really appreciate you, man.
Before I depart ways with you guys, my biggest thing I want to leave you guys with is I enjoyed the conversation that we had, but the biggest thing is don't be afraid to write your path. Don't let mom, dad, sister, brother, things around you dictate your path. You write your path, you write your story, and be smart when you do that. You know, as young kids, what you feel and what you see and what you believe. If you write your own path and find your own peace within the right things, you will become the person you're supposed to become. And if you're not that person yet, you're going to be pushed to where you should be. As that person, you're going to be pushed. Meaning, if you tend to do something and you're struggling and it, like, you always keep going into the circle or you always get pushed out of that one thing you keep trying to do. Man, why'd I get kicked off? Or man, this is not working out for me. It's because it's something saying you need to go do whatever that's been sitting in your gut for years to go do. That's smart. That can help people. So write your path. Don't let anybody dictate your path.
Awesome. Coach Lane, we love the life that you're speaking into our leaders, man. They need that more now than ever. Leaders, ready your hands. Put your TikToks away. TikTok. Let's give Coach Lane a 5 clap. Ready, ready. Thank you, Coach.
See you guys.